This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 149 for Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
And oh my God, we're back home for like a week and a half. Woo!
Sweet.
I'm excited.
Well, it is nice.
Just saying.
So of course, this past week was the Atlanta Penn Show. And so we left
Wednesday night.
Wednesday afternoon, actually.
Yes, Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday afternoon. And got into due to some
bad rain
and prior obligations. We actually stopped, what, about 2 hours north of Bowling Green, Kentucky, Thursday morning. Lisa slept
barely Thursday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Cause we actually slept for a couple hours.
It was heaven.
Woke up. I actually worked for about 3 hours at a
rest stop,
Thank you. With our wireless hotspot. And then we made our way to Bowling Green by about, we got there about 10:30.
Got there right about 10.
Which is about two hours later than I anticipated we were going to get there. But
well, only because it opens at 8, so the your plan was we were going to be like pulling on the door.
I wanted to be knocking on the door. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. We're here. Open up.
So that was the, of course, Bowling Green, Kentucky, if you missed last week, the home of the National Corvette Museum. Bowling Green is where they actually do make all the new Corvettes. And being a fan,
That's not appropriate. It's not emphatic enough. I'm
a fan,
huge fan. But you know, we also have a very dear friend who is big into Corvettes and had donated 5 of his cars to the museum. So when you walk up to go through the door, Ivan's car is right there.
Right,
spin around. It's so cool. Spinner. So it was like a big Lazy Susan or a big turntable. So it was really cool to walk up and see Ivan and Mary's car still in the front window with a big, it's not big, but a probably 18 by 24 little plaque describing the car, what's in it, and a little bit about their donation of the car. So that was really cool. We walk up and there's Ivan and Mary.
Yeah, and actually, I saw a post today on Facebook. Ivan is actually in at the museum, and
they're back. Yeah,
so they're back.
Yeah,
so
they go there often.
So yes, we spent about an hour and a half, give or take.
I thought it was closer to 2.5.
Yeah, maybe.
And then at 10, we left right about 12:30. I'd never been. Brian had been a long time ago, and it was. It was really interesting. At one point, we were kind of reading some of the plaques and such along between the two, between some windows. And I looked and there's a little brick with Ivan and Mary's name on it. So they were kind of with us the whole time.
That was pretty cool.
It was great. But some of you may remember that last year there was a big sinkhole that opened up at the museum. And it's been a year, and they have since taken all the cars out, which was quite a feat. And they're in the process of closing it up. So they've poured, I don't even know how many millions of gallons of concrete and whatever else down there. But they had the cars that were in the sinkhole on display. And it was, they had one car that they have renovated. I think another one is out for renovation.
Yeah, the 62 is out for renovation. Yeah.
Saving, whatever you want to call it. The others were on display as is. And I have to tell you, it was very emotional. It's crazy because they're just cars. They're just objects. When the sinkhole opened, it was like 5 in the morning and no one was hurt. No one was there. So, you know, it's a miracle that it wasn't at noon when the place was packed, but sort of like when you drive past an accident and, you know, you see this car all crumpled and it just really kind of stops your heart for a minute. There were, what, 5 or 6 cars out?
Yep.
And a couple of them were
barely noticeable.
Barely recognizable as cars. I mean, one was, we sent a couple pictures to Hugh, kind of goofing around, but it was shockingly very emotional. I was pretty much tearing up because these are beautiful pieces of history. I mean, I know they're just cars, they're just objects, but to see what happened and to see these poor, beautiful things just crumpled like a tin can, it was, I mean, they still had dirt on them.
Yeah, they still had the dirt. You could see the clay. And
crazy.
So,
yeah.
So we did that. We stopped, and of course, we stopped in the made one stop before we left, and became. We are now officially
Members.
Business members. So,
yep.
Something we've been wanting to do for a while. So we did that, and then got back on the road, and
we bought coffee mugs.
We did buy
coffee. Big, huge coffee mugs. I'm so excited.
Really sweet. He was going to love them. I'll take a picture of them.
Yeah.
We were trying to get to Atlanta before 5:30. We want to stop by Jimmy Dolev, the organizer of the show in Atlanta. We wanted to stop by his store, Total Office Products, before 5:30. And because of the rain, just coming down.
Couldn't
it was insane. We were about what we get there about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we were about an hour too late, and there was no way that I know that if we'd asked, they would have stayed. But there was no way that I was gonna keep them at the store late, just so we could, you know, drool.
Yeah. So we didn't make it, but you know what? It worked out because then we could relax. We thought we would get a good dinner, and whoever had 807 wins.
To talk about food.
We decided there was a Carrabba's 2 exits up, so we thought we would go to Carrabba's. And it was maybe the worst dining experience I've had in a long time.
It was
shockingly bad.
Such a disappointment, because we don't have Carrabba's restaurants up here in Wisconsin, and we try to eat healthy when we can. On the road, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of whatever is at any given exit, but once we're settled, we try to eat healthy. And so we thought, okay, Carrabba's is different. Neither of us had had Carrabba's in years, and you could certainly get something healthy, you know, something decent. It wouldn't be too expensive. And the service was awful, and the food was mediocre at best. Yeah. I was surprised. It's not the way I remember it when I lived in Tampa.
No, because I used to go when I lived in Florida too. And
it was
always a treat. And this was a treat.
This was no treat.
A treat, well, in a different sense of the word.
You know, we went, and it was Thursday night. Around, right?
Yeah, it was about 7 o'clock.
Thursday night around 7, and we thought, ooh, are we even going to be able to, Thursday night at 7 in Atlanta, are we even going to be able to get a seat? Now we know why there were plenty of tables.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
We didn't even have, not even a quarter of the meal. I mean, we didn't have our meal for 5 minutes, and the waitress comes and asks us if we want to order dessert.
Well, it's probably about 10 minutes in, but neither of us were,
we weren't even halfway through. Yeah.
But I mean, we were getting into the booth, and she's asking about drinks and appetizers. Like, she's just literally, we're both still holding the menu.
She wants to know about
appetizers and drinks. It's like, I don't even have both butt cheeks on the ground, on the bench yet. Can I say that on air? I just did.
I think you can.
I just did. So she was just really, and not pushy, just impatient, I suppose.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that time in Applebee's. But anyway, in Nitro, West Virginia. Don't go to Applebee's.
Oh, Nitro, West Virginia. Yeah. And it was raining then too. So
so there's something about us and food in the rain. So Carrabba's was just incredibly disappointing. overpriced for what we got. Just poor service. We were just really frustrated and disappointed. I mean, we were looking forward to it, like, oh my God, Carrabba's, let's go. It'll be awesome. And yeah, I would have rather gone to Wendy's.
Well, next time we'll take the right and we'll go to the other side of the highway. But the other part was is originally the plan was is we were going to be able to get in the ballroom Thursday night, and then we didn't find out until just before we were leaving that there was an event in the ballroom Friday morning, so we weren't going to be able to unpack. So we had dinner and then pretty much went back to the hotel and we slept, and that was it. So Friday morning, get up, find our way to the hotel.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we get our way to the hotel, unpack. It's still sprinkling. I mean, it's raining all the time we were gone. And I think we got everything pretty well set up in a reasonable amount of time.
It was nice to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's such a benefit to start the first day of a show well rested. I mean, there are most easily half, if not more, of the shows. We leave the night before, we get there that morning after driving all night straight through, no sleep, and then we set up, which is a 2 to 3 hour project, and then work all day, end up usually doing something with somebody that night, and we get to bed and we haven't slept in 36, 40 something hours.
Right.
And it's it was really nice. It was a nice comfy bed.
Yeah, wasn't bad. Show Friday.
Was busy.
It was busy.
It was busy. It was great.
But you know, it's like a good Friday. It's busy enough, but it's not too busy. You can't chat with people.
Yeah.
Although I didn't get out from behind the table all day. So
I did it on purpose.
Yeah, right. Short of stopping by and seeing our good buddy Kenny from Yaffa. we're behind the table all day, getting things set up, chatting with people, and having a good time. It's a laundry list of everybody who was there. Of course, behind us, Knock showed up. Brad Dowdy, Mike Hurley. And Mike Matsuyama is just right there. So, of course, I had a pen for a client of ours that we needed to get fixed. And I think we were the first one in line, were we not?
First or second, yeah. Amico took it, and they kind of fit us in. Since it was for a customer back home, we weren't sitting there waiting. So Mike worked on it during a break. And that was great. But it's always good to see them. And it turns out that they are going to Denver.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very excited. We actually spent quite a bit of time talking nibs with, Mike was there. And it was good to see he and his wife, Amico. And then Pendleton Brown showed up on Sunday.
We were just talking about him. We're like, well, has anybody ever seen Pendleton? I haven't seen Pendleton in like a year.
If not longer.
Yeah. And he just shows up. There he is. And it was so exciting. Pendleton is doing well. He's
everything's fine.
Everything's fine, you know, because we were concerned.
We were worried.
And he's just been so inundated with nib work that he can't take the time off to go to a show because it sets him back
too far.
And yeah. He doesn't want to have 3-4 month waits. But it was good to see him, and he wasn't there very long.
No, maybe an hour. But he always does shows alone, and he usually drives, and he said it's just too hard and it sets him back too far. It's physically hard on him. It's hard on his family. And so he just, something had to go, and it's shows, but it's good that he's still got enough work.
Yep.
So it was phenomenal to see him. I miss him singing at the end of shows.
Yes, yeah, we're all packing up, and he does his little harmonica thing, and
harmonica and improv singing about who's in the room, and you know, it's different every time. It's a treat. He's got an amazing voice.
Yeah. So what else happened Friday at the show? Who else? Jimmy Dole is always right there next to us, which is cool because
prime spot next to Jimmy, because between Jimmy and Janice and their daughter Suzanne, it's something crazy is always going on, and it's fun. And then behind us are Mimi and Mike Turkington. And I got to tell you, it's dangerous to be near them because Mimi is up there as one of the world's most phenomenal bakers. This woman is...
It's nuts.
God's gift to baking. I'm not exaggerating.
It's like twice a day, she's passing out cake or brownies or something to everybody.
Pie or something. Yeah. She goes home every night, bakes them, and then brings them in to share with everybody at the show. But she'll bring in like four or five or six, and then she'll have one or two up at the front registration table. And then she'll just like replenish it, or she'll just have one or two trays of some amazing edible yumminess, and she'll just kind of lean over and say, "Would you like one?" And it's a brownie, or she made brownies on Saturday.
Yeah, brownies on Saturday, cake on Friday, or something. I can't remember.
It was this amazing chocolate cake with powdered sugar on top and nuts, and it was just amazing.
So yeah, and they're cool to talk to.
They're great.
They always have great stuff. Last year I got an Aiken Lambert Safety Mint, perfect black. I've been looking for one for a long time. They had it. In fact, we actually did a little trade last year. I scoured their table a little bit this year. Nothing that I could live without, but just fun to chat with. They're just really
Just good people.
They're good people. Yeah. So,
and this year we had Carl Seidel at the end of our tables, and he's always great. Carl's the man. His company is called Pens of Distinction, and he's the one who made my razor out of the Esterbrook barrel. So it was fun to be next to him.
Yeah, he's always torturing, and we never got to finishing it, but we were talking there for a while. Carl has graciously hooked me up with in Philly this year. I think it was Philly. Mm-hmm. We picked up a large number of Mont Blanc parts, and Carl helped in. He had some other ones, and he sold me there, and then he went home, and then he sold me some more, and he had he had some with him here in Atlanta, and some 149 barrels, and basically he said he had enough parts that all he needed was pistons, and he could make several 149s, and we were looking to try to see what we could do about that. We were both super busy, never got a chance to talk about it, but next show I'm sure we'll do that. But always fun to tell. He's got some interesting things he makes. He just really it must be refreshing for him. He takes some pen that is no longer working, or it's too far gone, and he makes a beautiful ballpoint or something else out of it. He's just really a master at what he does. So then right next to him on the other side, directly opposite of on the other wall, is Franklin Kristoff.
Yep.
They were there, and
they were Martin busy. Ferguson,
yeah, they were busy. Martin Ferguson was right next to him, so he was doing snorkel repairs. Mm-hmm. All weekend.
Terry Mayhorder was on the other side.
Yeah, it's a good little room.
And then our good buddy John Colton is right there in our room. It's dangerous.
It is. I looked, but he's got one that I like, but I just can't. Yeah, can't pull the trigger. Can't do it. So.
I barely even know who was in the other room.
Yeah, I was only in there like four times. Yeah.
I know that Ryan Krusak and Brandon Lee were there. and Rick Horn and Pat Mohan, because I bought a pen that we'll talk about later.
Oh.
And Sam and Frank and Dan and Cindy, Sam and Frank of Pandemonium and Dan and Cindy Ruppert were in there. And other
Todd
than
Sheed
that,
from Madison, our good buddy Todd, who had some really interesting stuff. Who
and
else?
Susan Worth and John were in the other room because they weren't in our room, but I don't even know who else was there.
Yeah, a bunch of other people, I'm sure. I know a couple. There's the one guy in the corner that puts all his pens in boxes. We got my Omos Paragon from him last year or 2 years ago.
Art Light.
Is that, oh, that's what it is. Okay, mm-hmm.
And Mario of Toys in the Attic, Toys from the Attic.
Toys from the Attic, yeah. He was in the corner, yeah.
There. And, Mario in the corner.
There's a couple people. Yeah, Mario in the corner.
He'd be the first one to be there.
Yeah. And Mont Blanc had a little tray set up. They had a bunch of Bohems with the different nib sizes. And the
they were supposed to be there. And then at the last minute, the rep canceled, but they'd already sent stuff. So Jimmy had one of his former employees sit at the table. So that was a little disappointing, but it was fine.
But so yeah, that was a quick rundown on Friday and Friday evening, the annual Atlanta Pen Show barbecue.
Second food reference at 8:21 for those there of you go. Keeping track.
Is that second? We already talked about something else. I think the cake. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, all right, third. Way better than Carrabba's.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Awesome.
So sadly it was still raining. Sid Saperstein was in the other room too. But it was still raining, so they didn't do the barbecue outside, but they had it inside. Nice spread, nice. Really, you know?
Yeah. Simple fare, but lots of it.
Real good burgers.
Hot dogs, really good burgers, lots of nice toppings.
Good fries, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then free drinks.
Beverages were flowing, real nice. And good conversation at the table. We sat with Sam and Frank Fiorella from Pandemonium. And
you know, we never get to sit down with them. We love them. They are just phenomenal people. You will find very few people who are more knowledgeable than Sam and Frank.
Right. They've been doing this, 25 years now? They've been married 40, been doing this 25.
And but we never get to do more than kind of hug and say hi. And maybe if we're all like waiting in line to do something or go somewhere or, you know, file in or out of a room or something, we don't get much time to chat. So it was really nice to sit with them. Their granddaughter is about the same age as our kids. So it's always fun to catch up on all that. And that was nice.
Yeah, it was real fun. We had a couple other people at the table.
Who else was there? It was Jim and
the guy from the Pen Guardian.
Tom Harvey,
and there was the lady who was selling those wood pens, those turn pens that she was making. Who was in our room? Was right by the door.
I don't know who that is.
I forget what her name was.
Yeah.
Charming to talk to.
Just a nice mix, and it was good to sit. It was really nice to sit.
Yeah. That was it for Friday, I think, right? So, get back and try to get some sleep. Saturday's the big day, and get up early and get in, and of course. When I get in on Saturday, I'm looking around the table because I keep thinking, you know, we had started putting some pens we put in trays instead of bringing the box, and I had a little more room than I thought. And then Saturday morning, I get in there and I'm like looking through something. I thought, oh, wait a minute. I forgot to put out, and this is like probably 5 out of the last 10 shows, I forgot to put out the Visconti Van Goghs.
So suddenly we had less room.
We had less room.
That's all right.
No big deal. Get those out, and people start coming through the door. It was busy, very busy Saturday. And before you know it, you know, that 10 to 5 just was, I don't know about you, it was flying by. I look at it and be like 3 o'clock, and next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock. So, a lot of cool people showing up too.
Our joke is that the test of a good show is how late we eat lunch or whether or not we eat lunch. We, for the last, I can't even remember how many years, the Atlanta Pen Club has always sponsored lunch, and they bring it around to you, and you've got your option between, you know, like ham and turkey, and you want a Coke or a Sprite. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that this year. They chip in for the barbecue. The president of the Southeast Pen Club told me. So we ordered kind of the box lunch from the restaurant, and it wasn't all that great.
Yeah, I forgot you got it, and then all of a sudden I looked down, and then of course then it was, you know, the chips were cold. And the
sandwiches, yeah, not, you know. It wasn't great, but it was our only option, and
yeah, I mean you got to choke it down, so so to speak.
My wrap was a little gummy. not. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't good.
Well, we should mention before we started going, getting everything ready. Saturday morning is usually the day we make our first rounds before we take the covers off the table. So and sometimes it's the only time we have to get out from behind the table and look at stuff. So we get out. Of course, the first thing Lisa sees over by Rick Horn's table is. They can't see you waving.
I know. I got the coolest sailor. In fact, I will share a family secret. We're fighting over it.
I'm a little jealous. I gotta
it's
admit.
Mine.
If we find another one like it, I definitely
it's mine. It's a sailor, of course. Green. We'll show pictures. We'll put a blog post up and we'll show pictures because this is just so freaking cool.
Yeah, 1911, large.
Which Brian is trying to insist that it's too big for me, but
look at it's like three times the size of your hand. It's way, you know, too big for you.
It doesn't matter that it's a 1911 large, and it doesn't matter that it's a medium nib. It's mine.
It's a 21 karat nib. That must mean it's flexible. It must be super flexible, super large. I know you don't like the flexible nibs.
But the trick is just don't press hard. So I'm good, but it's.
I need to say that sailor nibs are not flexible, so I don't want anybody listening to think that they can take a nib and.
No. But it's this gorgeous dark green. I saw it, and I drooled, and then I left it because.
And this is the older version too, so it's got the semi-flat top. It doesn't have
The more modern ones have. And elongated, torpedo. Rounded, yeah. More of a torpedo shape.
And
so I saw it, negotiated, walked away, kept thinking about it.
Yeah, you went back. Actually, you didn't buy it until Sunday, actually.
I didn't. I went back, and I we'd had a good Saturday, and, you know, we're not there necessarily to buy a lot for ourselves, Brian.
Don't talk to me. I didn't.
So I went. We had a good Saturday, so I took some money and I went back. And so if it was meant to be, it would still be there, and it was still there. And I asked the man who had it, and he gave me a price lower than it was marked. And I flipped out the money and was giddy like a schoolgirl. And our friend Rick Horn just watched me and laughed.
So, yeah. So, I'll just say this: I bought one pen for myself, one. Solamente uno.
That's for Eric.
That's for Eric.
Look at mine. It's only gorgeous. One pen. All right, show the audience.
In fact, my pen cost exactly half what you paid for that one. So we're going around, and there was a gentleman that was taking care of Saul Kitchener's estate. Mm-hmm. Saul passed away earlier this year. Saul's pen collection is beyond amazing. And we were chatting with – actually, Saturday morning, we had breakfast with a good friend, Mike Beiler, and Fern Padilla, And I remember Fern was telling me about a John Holland hatchet filler that he saw, and later come to find out it was part of Saul's collection. So it was gone by the time I got there, but that's okay. There was a pen on the table that I couldn't believe I saw. And when I looked at the price tag, I thought a zero was missing. And here it is. It's really a super George Romanek is going to love this.
This Steph is a modeled, will be drooling.
Yeah, the modeled hard rubber taper cap eyedropper. So that alone is very, very interesting. It has these two beautiful gold bands, and instead of the typical snail pattern that you see on most of these old eyedroppers, Waterman used a snail pattern, you know, a number of others. These have like a little pinwheel pattern on it. It's impossible to see. I'll take a picture of it later, but they have a cute little pinwheel pattern on them. It's very thin. It's very, very flush with the rest of the barrel. And so what makes this pen interesting to me, other than the fact that there's no cracks, there's nothing, nothing inherently wrong in the material. What's interesting, there's two things that are interesting here. Number one, the section is actually black hard rubber. And I do believe it to be correct.
Go ahead.
Go. Okay. And the pen is made by the Williamson Pen Company of Janesville, Wisconsin.
Which is cool.
So
here's the third most impressive thing, or perhaps the first most impressive thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's got a nib.
Okay, so
it has a nib. Brian bought a pen with a nib. Hello.
Okay, so the only problem with this pen, and there is one problem, is the nib is missing tipping on one side.
But it has a nib.
It has a nib.
Step in the right direction.
It's an original Williamson nib. It says Janesville, Wisconsin, USA, Janesville, Wisconsin. USA. It's fantastic. A really cool piece of Wisconsin history.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal. I can get that nib fixed. I sent it to Monashaw and boom, it'd be done. Beautiful pen. Very slender.
6 months later.
You know, well, yeah, what do I care?
I know.
Beautiful modeling. It's just gorgeous. Breather hole in the top of the taper. It's outstanding. Really neat piece. Interestingly enough, there's no marking on the barrel. I actually showed this to Terry Mayhorn, and Terry's been doing this for 40 years, 30 years. And he looked at it and he says, you know, these things were turned out by hand, one at a time. Probably never was an imprint on the barrel. You know, and then they bought the nibs, and then that was that. So super, super excited to have my first Williamson. They also made overlays too, but very, very, very cool pen. I'm very excited. It was half.
You just made Wayne sick.
It's half the price of Lisa's Sailor.
Oops. Really?
Oh. It was.
Well, then there was this other beauty. I do have to give Brian huge credit. He bought me a pen. I'm not sure again that that was actually intended for me, but it's ended up in my pen case. And it's staying
there. This pen also was about the same price as the pen I paid. So you got two pens for three times what I paid.
Yeah, but we have a good David Parenti story. So
we do. That one's coming up.
So Brian found this.
Well, actually, I didn't find it. It found me. I'm over chatting with Terry Mayhorder, and he says, oh, hey, he goes, check this out. And he hands it to me.
Because he knows that we have purchased similar items from him in the past. He's a smart man. Now, this is a Vanishing Point, the older style. And most of you guys know that we like the faceted old style Vanishing Points. This is not faceted. This is completely round.
It's completely round.
Yep. It's very cool. But it has, don't drop it, brushed appointments, which is cool. And it's this matte, it reminds me of Macrolon. Maybe it is.
No, it's not mackerel.
I don't know what it is. No. But it's a brushed or a matte finish. It's similar to the faceted vanishing point I picked up not too long ago. Was that in LA?
Yeah. Yeah. Where is that one? That one's inked up in your case.
It is inked up.
It's like gray.
You're inked up in my case now.
Is it gray? Is the other one gray?
It's kind of a grayish black. Yeah.
I didn't give you two of the same pen, did I?
No, because that one's faceted. That one's micro faceted. This one is round.
Are you just saying that so you don't have to get one? No, is that what this is? Oh, really, yeah, different. Yeah, they're different. Yeah, yeah, they're different.
They're different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're different. So Saturday night.
Anyway, the pen dates to, assuming that the nib is original, and I have no reason to believe that it was changed out, 1974 date quote on the nib. So
it's very cool.
Looks nice. You graciously let me try it this morning.
Yeah.
For like about 30 seconds, and she
there you go.
Snatched it out of my hand.
Yeah. There you go.
And that
wouldn't
was that.
You? You would want it back. So anyway, so Saturday night.
What a husband! Home. I give my wife all the Japanese pens.
It's not.
If I'd have known that, I'd have bought another one of soft pens.
Well, do it in Chicago.
Oh, well, there's none left.
So Saturday night, we went to dinner with Ken Jones, the vice president of sales for Yafa, and we had such a good time.
Ken is a trip. There's always something about him that I learn every time I see him, and it just, you know, it's a case where you should never try to pinpoint someone, because just when you think you got him pegged, he throws something out and he's like, really, what?
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense, you know. So you can't judge a book by its cover, and Kenny is definitely the case, right?
Well, I mean, I've known Kenny since, geez, 90, whenever I got into pens, 97 or 98, and yep. I learned things at dinner that I never knew. And I know a lot.
So for those of you who don't know Ken, he's the vice president of sales at Yafa.
I just said that.
You just said that? I'm sorry.
I just said
but,
that.
But he's got like tattoos, and he listens to, you know, Metallica.
Last year when he was setting up in Atlanta, he had, was it his phone? I don't think it was like a boombox or something. I think it was his phone. And he was jamming out to like Def Leppard or Kiss or Motley or Crew or something, kind of cranking it up, and he's just jamming on as he's setting up the table, so we went to dinner to partly just hang out and partly to talk business, and I could totally picture Kenny kicking back, you know, in front of the fire pit with a beer. I did not expect him to be very well versed in high-end wines. In fact, he was talking about even he's been looking into becoming a sommelier, like our friend Deb Kinney. I never would have pictured that. I just never would have pictured him, you know, sipping wine as opposed to, you know, kicking back.
He picked a great wine. I have no idea what it was. It was really good. So, But we got to hear stories about when he was in the service.
In his car driving.
He used to own a Trans Am. Was it Trans Am?
IROC Z.
I'm sorry. IROC Z, yeah. And, you know, getting pulled over by the cops and speeding. And,
Great stories.
Crazy stories.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of, he's a big fan of Hawaii.
Yeah.
He came this close to buying a motorcycle at one point.
Salesman took too long. I mean, we just had such a good time.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, that man can sell ice cubes to Eskimos, and they will thank him for it.
You know, and I told him that the next day, and he just laughed.
I did too.
He just thought that was the funniest thing. So.
It was that right before or right after he said, I'll tell you what, I'll sell you everything left on my table.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So, we had a good time Saturday night. We went to Maggiano's, completely crazy at that mall. I mean, it was nuts. So we decided to, for some reason, I'm not sure it was a good move or not. I guess it was. Did the valet parking, and we had a table right at 5:45, and great food.
Great.
Really, really. I mean, it made up for the bad Carrabba's.
Yeah, and the bad lunch.
Yeah, and the wine was great, and we had dessert, and I picked this piece of chocolate cake, right? And so I get it, and I took a picture of it, but I didn't post it. But this piece of cake has got to
be. It's got to be 6 inches, between 6 and 9 inches tall.
6 and 9 inches tall. Huge. I'm like, are you kidding? Is that for the whole table? What the heck is this? I mean, I didn't even eat half of it. I'm like, forget it. You know,
we should have taken it for breakfast then.
We should have. I was thinking about it, but you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, so that was cool. Chatted with Kenny. We did some business. That was fun.
Yeah. You guys will be hearing about that soon enough.
Be hearing about that.
Good.
In a week and a half. Went back to the room, and after a long day, pretty much hit the sack. Now I actually had some work to do, so I was up at 11 to 1. I was doing work on my laptop, and then at 1 o'clock I go to sleep, and then 3 hours later we hear this thud.
There's this kind of a crash bang noise, and it woke me up. I guess I didn't realize that Brian was awake that first thing, and I thought, oh crap, something fell. We had a bag of.
I was barely awake. It took me a while to remember, but yeah, I was barely awake.
I just, there was some noise, but I didn't hear anything shatter. It wasn't a glass or anything like that. I thought, you know, maybe I had put my purse too close to the edge and eventually it fell over or something, and I just went back to sleep. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rings. The hotel phone, not my cell phone. And I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but it was something like, why are you in that room? And, you know, who is this? And like, it's downstairs. It's the front desk.
You are a woman of few words. Let me just say this.
This is my room. Good night. Like,
you know, there was no good night. Yeah. I think it was. No. But.
Yeah, I'm sure some choice words were uttered. But basically, why are you calling? And it was the front desk. And they had rented our room. And someone was trying to get into the room. But luckily, we had the top, that extra security latch closed. So I'm sure I was rude to the guy on the phone because you called me up at 4 a.m. to ask why I'm in my registered room. So I hung up and he called back. Who is this? He says to me, I'm like, what's your name? Anderson. What's your first name? Like, who the hell is this? What do you want? They didn't have us registered in our room. Now, we got in Thursday night. This is Sunday morning. What's the problem? So I don't remember much of that conversation either. I'm sure I was incredibly short.
You were short, and then you had some choice words once you hung up. That was pretty funny. We can't say them on either.
I don't remember. All I know is, what the heck? So we both laid there now wide awake trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Finally get back to sleep. I'm kind of like half waiting for somebody to try to get in the room again.
We were going to be getting up at 6:30 anyway. So now we got, you know, I had 3 hours of sleep. Now we got this fiasco going on and we're getting up in 2 hours. So
yeah. So we do both finally get to sleep. Still a little weirded out, and get up, get ready. We pack up because we're leaving that day, and I go down to the front desk. And
well, now actually, before you get there,
yeah,
we decide. Okay, we got everything. You know, you do what you do, and you're in a hotel room. You put everything on the bed, and so you know what you got. And we said, well, and this is a two trip thing here. So we grab as much as we can, and then I grabbed the key, I put it in my shirt pocket, and as we get outside the door, we see down the hall,
there's a cart.
And the second we see it, the door closes.
Which normally would not be a problem, except they'd rented our room, so our key didn't work. So
I've got two bags in the stinking room that I can't get because I got to go down
to get a new key to get back into our own room. So we go down, and I know that it's not the fault of this poor girl who just came on shift. I know that whatever happened in the middle of the night, she had nothing to do with it. And I know that. So I'm not mean, I'm not rude to her, but what the heck, man? You're renting out the room that we've had for, that we prepaid for, and you know what? So she was sweet and helpful. Apparently some night auditor unregistered us, had us down as a no-show. Even though we checked in and we had two keys that worked and everything was fine, we'd been there for 2 days already. But of course, I had looked before we went downstairs. I looked at a credit card statement, and they had charged odd amounts to one card that we had used, and then they charged another amount to a card that's on our account, but I hadn't used it for that. Like, why do we have all these odd charges? And when you add them up, they don't make sense. So she's trying to explain this and that, and finagling money and you know, adjusting this and adjusting that. And it was crazy.
About 25 minutes. I mean, it
took about half an hour. The manager wasn't there. So it was just really unnecessary drama. And we've never had a problem before.
That's a nice hotel. I mean, it's not, you know.
Yeah, it's decent, but.
You know, it's not the Hilton, but it's you know, the rooms are nice and whatever, but.
The bed was very comfy. We've stayed there before. We've never had a problem.
Yeah, so we got it, you know, it was sort of taken care of, but got our stuff, got out, got to the show. We said we were going to tell the David story. So as many of you know, our
anniversary is coming up.
Our anniversary is coming up in a week from Friday, and so per tradition, we always give each other. I mean, so far it's always been pens, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And we pretty much at this point we pick what we want and we tell the other, and then they wrap it up or they just give it to us. You know, we give it to you, whatever. So
when's mine gonna get here?
I have no idea. I gotta contact them. Hopefully
before. Do you want me to contact Kenra?
No, I'll be in touch.
Because it's gorgeous.
I know. I've been waffling between the Mont Blanc 149 90th anniversary, the rose gold, the red gold trim, the special 90th anniversary nib, just phenomenal pen. It's really cool looking. The nib is just unbelievable. You tip it one way and it says 90, and you tip it the other way and it's 06, which is the year that, you know, the company was founded. I've been waffling between that and then, of course, the Sailor.
To die for. Yep.
It's amazing. It's the only nib in the entire Sailor lineup. It's soft. It's got some line variation. It's a big pen. It's actually capped. It's bigger than the 149. The nib is a hair bit smaller, but it capped. It's a big pen, and it's wonderful. It's just a really cool pen, and I've been eyeing up both of them, and hadn't been making the decision. So David shows up at the show, and he's looking at the pens. He gets to the show and he sees Lisa first, and he's talking to Lisa.
Yeah.
And what does he say?
That he was going to mess with you.
He wants to mess with. Right. So.
He says he's going to tell you that he wants the King of Pen because you've been talking about maybe wanting it. So I lean in and I tell him, actually, tell him you were thinking about that, but you're leaning more toward the Mont Blanc 90th because they don't make it anymore, and we can't get any more of those. You can get another Sailor King of Pen. So he goes over there toward Brian and starts messing with him. And Brian's trying really hard to not, like, cry.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's just a pen, right? But, you know, if I can sell it, I'll sell it. If I can't, you know, we have a new rule apparently at the store. Thanks, Dave. If it's in the case, it's
available, right?
It's available. So David comes up and he says, says, yeah, I want to see that. I'm interested in the 149.90th. And I'm like, okay. You know, but I'm kind of looking around like I don't know where it is. And we show it to him. He lets me do this for about 2 or 3 minutes. He goes, yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
And it was great.
Yeah. And so we talk about it, and we're looking at the sailor, and we look at the King of Pan, and we're talking about sailors. And I was talking with everybody about sailors. I mean, it was everybody came up to the table. Yeah. They wanted to see sailors. They want to see the King of Pan. They want to see the Pro Gears in 1911. It was crazy. I'd be there talking to some guy about a sailor, and some other guy come up like, oh yeah, those are awesome pants. Really great. You got to get one. And then the guy buy one, and then another guy move over, and he start looking at him, and we start talking. Another random guy come up to the table, and he said, yeah, those are awesome pants. You got to get one. Then he'd buy one. And then, you know, so David and I were talking about the King of Pan. And at some point, I think it was on Saturday, another guy was looking at it, and I'm talking with him about it. And we had inked it up, so there was a little bit of ink in the feed, and we could kind of play with it. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see David. He's sitting over on the side. He's kind of, you know, sitting there waiting patiently. And I could tell he wanted to eat, you know, he wasn't just, you know, he wanted to talk. And so this guy's looking at the King of Pen for like 5-10 minutes. David's just sitting there. And all of a sudden the guy's like, okay, well, thank you very much. I'll think about it and I'll be back. As we say at AP, the be back bus ain't coming back.
We say that?
We do. That's what David
says. Never heard of it.
You never heard of it? Okay.
That must be a you and Dave after I leave thing.
It is. But okay. So then this guy leaves, and then David kind of ships over, and he wipes his forehead, and he goes, that was close.
It was great. And David's wife, Carol, is delightful.
So David did take home the King of Pen, and I seriously hope you're having a super time with it. It's a great, great pen. So we're gonna order another one of those, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe two?
Yeah, I'm getting three.
You're getting three? Oh, that's nice.
You know, we have our anniversary next weekend, your birthday at the end of June, Father's Day in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Father's Day is a big one.
Well, we're selling pens at the store for Father's Day.
I don't know.
Why not?
So anyway, that was just, it was a whole lot of fun, the whole thing. And David was fun that he could keep coming back to the table every, you know, every 30, 45 minutes, hour, or whatever. I mean, it was hard to tell time, great. But it was just a blast, and just a lot of fun. So anyway, yeah. that's the David story.
I just liked that he was ready to mess with you. It was cool.
You know, everybody does that, and for whatever reason, I am so gullible. Anyway.
Yeah.
We should move along here. It's getting, yep, getting late. Sunday, Sunday
was busy.
And we did get out and look around. You know, I got you your vanishing point, and you got your sailor, and I didn't buy any other pens. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I thought it was busier than it was maybe last year. It was just really well done. Jimmy and family do a great job promoting the show.
They do.
I got out and I had a little 20-minute massage.
Charlie, who is a massage therapist, normally goes to the Baltimore show. She's from the Baltimore area. And I know Suzanne Dolive, Jimmy's daughter, loves her, and I guess they're good friends or something. And I don't recall seeing Charlie in Atlanta before, but we walk in and she's out of context. She's a Baltimore context. And we walk into the Atlanta show and there's Charlie from Baltimore. Like, wait a minute, I'm confused. But she was there. She had her massage chair and she was doing massages the entire weekend. And Sunday it was slow. And, I gave her $20 and sent Brian over, and he had his 15-minute massage, and I hope it was good.
And Lisa refused to get a massage, so.
I did. I did. Brian offered, and I said no. I can't sit there in the middle of a show and relax enough to let Charlie really work her magic, knowing that something could be going on at the table. I just can't do it. So, besides, we know somebody locally now.
You do. Well, yeah. Well, we have, you know, our new part-time shipping person is a massage therapist. So, anyway.
I'm trying to convince her she should go to Chicago next year.
Well, you know, maybe that would be.
She's got to get a chair.
She needs to get a chair. Okay.
Next, so that she's got time to save up. But anyway.
So do we want to tell the last Kenny story, or do we want to? at the end of the day,
this is what we have to put up with. It's tragic.
Kenny comes up to me and goes, listen, I don't want to take any of this stuff home.
I'll make you a deal.
Killer deal. Yeah. He says, you could take everything from this side of the table. And I'm like, come on. Then he gives me a number. And then I'm like, what about the rest of it? And then he gives me a better number.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not going to work. So I said, well, tell me what the actual dollar amount is, you know. And then you go back, and about 20 minutes later, he comes out and he says, well, listen, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then this is what kind of good guy he is. He says, there's stuff there that you're going to have a hard time selling. So I can't in good conscience sell this to you. I said, well, what about the other stuff? The other stuff I want. And we do end up making the deal. I take the latter two tables instead of the other four that he had, or three that he had. So we came home with, was it 13, 15, 20? I don't even remember how many slaughter boxes full of stuff.
It was a lot. They're shipping us a lot of boxes.
I don't know. I mean, he didn't even send us the bill yet for it. No. I don't think we got the bill.
No, we didn't. Not for that. No, I'm afraid to see it.
Yeah. So, of course, the sad moment, I don't want to dwell on it, is we're out for 5 minutes talking to him and squaring everything away. And we go back and someone nabbed the rotten Namiki vanishing point off the table. Gone.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that's when it happened, because we had a little bit of a – we had some people at the table right before then.
I don't know. I was pretty good about watching that stuff. I keep my eye on the Japanese stuff, but I think it happened. We weren't gone from the table a total of 5 minutes max.
Yeah. And we never ever leave the table when there are customers around. And so either there was another door to the room, so someone could have come in. I really don't want to think that it was another vendor. There was somebody at Mike Masuyama's table and a couple people talking and testing pens at Franklin Kristoff's table. So somebody could have walked around, and it was a tray on the end. But normally always, we're very attentive to the pens. We don't just walk off.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a, you know.
And people were already starting to pack up, so there was nothing.
Yeah, it was right like at 4 o'clock-ish.
Yeah.
I did hear that there were maybe a couple other pens in the other room that got swiped to. But
yeah.
You know what, not to diminish it, that it's just something that happened. It happens from time to time, and there it is. But
anyway, it put a damper on things, but
It did. You know, packing up, I kept kicking myself, but what are you going to do? So. I think overall, it was super show. Great people. We got to meet, you know, some cool people that we don't normally see at shows, and I don't know what more to say.
It's always a good show. It's friendly. They have lots of things planned. Free cake.
I like the cake.
Yeah. Just really great people. It's a good show. It's busy. Lots of people come. Lots of regular customers. You see a lot of the same vendors, but different vendors who right. only go to, let's say, Atlanta or maybe Miami, sometimes just Atlanta. So like Mike and Mimi, we don't see it every show.
Or, yeah, they're so cool to talk about.
They are. They're awesome.
I enjoy it. It's real nice.
So. Yeah. And a few other people who don't go to all the shows. We don't see Jimmy Dolan's wife too often. She doesn't travel with him. No. She's usually home holding
She's
down
so
the fort.
She's an epitome of the Southern.
Sweet Southern lady.
Sweet Southern lady, yep.
Yeah. Suzanne does sometimes go to shows with Jimmy, and she is a firecracker. She's got more energy than 10 people, and she's, you know, this big. She's tiny. So they just put on a great show, and they're just really good people. And Sherry, their assistant, is super helpful, and it's just a well-run show. So there you go.
Love it. So that's it. You know, we left right after the show. We got back late Monday, unpacked.
We had some rain on the way back, and of course, after a busy show, we were exhausted. So we pulled over a couple times, including once in Horse Cave, Kentucky.
Oh, this. So we're asleep. Lisa wakes me up. We're gonna stop and get some coffee or whatever. And I wake up, and she asked the guy at the counter at the register.
Yeah.
Sure, where are we?
Well, I mean, I like to know. Are we? Half the time, I'm not even sure what state we're in.
It's just some exit off the interstate is really all it is to us.
Pretty much. So just what state are we in, you know, so that I know how close we are to home. And we're in Horse Cave, Kentucky.
And in the gentleman's name who's talking to us, his name is Wesley. And he has this
big
large,
dude.
And by large, I mean, this thing
He's
had
a big
been,
man.
Well, he was a big man, but he has this tattoo on his arm. It had to have been 12, 16, 18 inches long.
However big his arm was.
It was big, yeah. It was almost from the elbow all the way up to his wrist. And it's and it says big nasty. Like, there's a poor decision if I ever saw one. You know, he's now in his 40s and he's got big nasty written on his arm. I don't know. And we're in Horse Cave, Kentucky. So
somebody at the show had a tattoo of a pickle on his arm.
Somebody at the show had a tattoo of a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe you can explain how do you explain big nasty? I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't want to know. But I don't remember if I asked or if I just looked funny about the name. And he says, well, there are two not reasons, but what's the word I'm looking for? Two stories behind the name. Of Horse Cave, Kentucky. He says the first one is that a lot of horses used to fall into the caves.
Yeah, it's not plausible.
That's scary.
I'm just walking around.
I'm just trying to decide, do I want orange juice or coffee? And then he says the other story behind why they named this little town Horse Cave is that apparently they used to have a lot of horse auctions, and the people used to pass out because it was so hot.
It was so hot, yeah, so they moved it into the cave.
They discovered that the caves, the natural caverns, of course, are a consistent 55 to 60 degrees, and so they would move the horse auctions, the horses and the people, down into the caves, and nobody would pass out anymore. So we said thank you to Mr.
Big Nasty. Nice.
He was a really nice guy. Yeah.
He was a real nice guy. It's just the whole situation was just completely ridiculous. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. So
what do you say to that? I don't know. Like, oh, very
thank you. Have a good night.
I'm gonna enjoy this coffee while it's still hot, and we left.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, but yeah, we stopped a couple times, and we got back late. Monday afternoon, and unpacked the car, went to the bank, and just went home and passed out.
Yeah.
So that was all I could handle.
Yeah. So that's it for the Atlanta show. Real brief, next week we have, of course, the great Chicago show, and I want to throw a link in here in the chat. Of the Chicago Pen Show auction items.
No.
And there's some really great stuff. Really cool stuff. So check it out. It's not actually on the Chicago Penn Show website yet. I don't know. You just need to update it. But anyway, cool stuff. Really cool ephemera. And for me these days, I think ephemera is actually more interesting than the actual pens because they're scarce. They're very scarce. I didn't say I was not going to buy pens, but being actually on the opposite side of the table, being in pen retail, it's really interesting to see the things that retailers back in the 20s and earlier had to deal with. So, very, very cool stuff. We want to talk quick about our visitors next week because we're
Next week we are having good friends, phenomenal people, and I'm just giddy with excitement. Ariel and Michelle Kulik and their new baby are coming to visit, and Mike Conway is going to bring them up.
Mike's awesome. He's cool.
Yeah, he's terrific. But I love Michelle. She's just phenomenal, and Ariel is beyond talented.
He's an artist. He really is. He's an artist with pen and metal work and everything. Yeah, I wish we had more time to spend. I'd love to sit down and talk repair and stuff with him. But yeah, it's going to be cool either way. Just to have him over.
They're coming up for the Chicago show, and they're coming up a couple days early, and they're going to spend some time with Mike. And we tried to arrange it for last year right before the show. But it didn't work out. So Michelle got in touch with me to make sure that it would be okay to come up. And we are just so excited. I don't know if everybody knows what Ariel does, but
Ariel is he actually has a sort of his name actually means something now. He's well known for creating among other things. What they call Fantasy 51 barrels and hoods. He makes these hoods. You can take 51 parts and you can make a clear demonstrator, multicolors, different patterns. And he makes all these different things, but he's also a jeweler. He makes overlays and he does,
he's so talented.
Yeah. But you go along and you'll see a weird looking 51. You'll say, well, the first thing that comes to mind is it's a Kulik.
Yeah,
it's not you know, it's a fake or it's a Kulik, which means it's awesome.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
I have a clear vac Kulik. I bought the parts from them and I put it together, and so it's real fun.
So we're excited about that, and they had a baby in December, so that'll be awesome to see the baby. And then we've also got, so that's Monday, and then Tuesday, when I'm supposed to be packing for the show, our Karen Dash rep is coming up, so that'll be cool.
Must resist.
Yes.
She's bringing samples or something?
She's bringing samples and new brochures and all sorts of stuff.
No salesperson brings samples and takes them back.
That's the problem. But that leads into some new stuff in the store and on the web so that we can get the heck out of here.
Yep. Real quick, last week we mentioned paper blanks. They are finally up. We have a number of them. I'm still working on some of the descriptions. Both of us are still working on the descriptions. But suffice it to say, fountain pen friendly journals. Here's one called the Ori, and you can see it changes with the way the light hits it, and it's actually textured. This is the Ori Ripple.
Yeah.
Some really cool ones. Here's another Ori. It's called the Ligature. It's a really neat pattern. They all have these little, what they call a memory pocket in the back. You can put stuff in them. And the last one I have, and Lisa's got some too, gold inlay. Look at this.
That's gorgeous. I really like that.
It's just pretty. And these all have some kind of, many of these have some kind of historic significance. This one's got the little latch on it. They're designed after some famous painting or work or something from, 17th century or something. I mean, just crazy stuff. And what do you have? You have the
Gutenberg Bible.
This is the real Gutenberg Bible right here. Lisa's got it in her hands. This is what happens.
Yeah, they're beautiful. It's got the flap. When you open it up, I can't do it. There it's just absolutely gorgeous. So we finally have those up, and the fixture's heavy. I went to move it. It's on the road. It's on a rotating pedestal, Wayne, actually. But I went to move it, and it's on wheels, but this sucker's heavy. Paper weighs a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We had 14. Became 14 boxes.
Yeah. From this stuff, so that's in. That's on the site, and we will get better descriptions up, but. Go with the picture.
Yeah, they're big. They're big. Plenty of pages. You know,
yeah, absolutely beautiful. Also in the new Lamy in neon lime. Let's see if I can get it.
That's lime.
Well, it looks kind of washed out on my screen.
Yeah, it does.
It's lime. It's very, very neon lime green. It's very bright. And then cartridges as well. The bottled ink is on the way. We haven't gotten it yet, and the rollerballs are not in yet either. For those of you who like rollerballs,
no, probably we do always
funky sell electric green. I'm not sure what Lamy's thinking. They had a apple green a couple years ago. They had a neon green a couple years before that, or some order. I like the copper orange.
Yeah, copper orange is nice. Yeah.
It's funky. I'll probably keep one since I've somehow ended up with this collection of Lamy pens. But I would like to see a cool blue would be nice, or a funky green, like a teal green or something.
Yeah, there's only two blues. I mean, the ocean blue is great, but
yeah. The blue green I thought was good.
So there's that, and we also picked up while we were in Atlanta. How do we want to describe this? This is kind of a one time opportunity kind of thing.
Kenny just throws this stuff at us and says, "Hey, you need this.
You need this."
Made us a super awesome deal.
Super awesome deal, and so I have right here the Monteverdi Invincia Deluxe. Stainless steel. It comes in a fountain pen and a ballpoint. Parker style refills, but really cool, kind of a cool looking pen.
Yeah.
And really not expensive at all. But solid, nice, solid pen. Under $60.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it at a great price, a closeout price, and we're passing that along to you. Last but not least, we had delivered to us, which I love, a new piece of pen storage that is also
kind of a surprise.
I knew it was coming.
Well, I didn't know until
they told me.
Until
we ordered these months ago, and it finally came in. And Franklin Christoph was good enough to deliver this to us at the show. I love their neck loops. And so we have neck loops in the Franklin Christoph Anderson blue in the silk blend. There you go. Stand up there. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's awesome.
It hangs. It's got a nice rigid back on it. It's got the little Franklin Christoph logo. It's got a loop. You can adjust this if you want. But it's got a slot for one pen. And it really it sits in there really tight. And so if I grab the pen, I mean, it doesn't come out. It's nice, and I've always complained. While I don't mind the winters here, I like to wear sweaters and turtlenecks and things that don't have pockets. So that really drives me nuts. But this is perfect, the perfect solution. Today was a little colder day. I wanted to wear a turtleneck, and I had no place to put my pen. I don't like to put my pens in my pants pocket. So this is perfect. I'm wearing it around today. I mean, you know, people in the office already think I'm weird anyway, but. This is a beautiful piece, the beautiful blue color, super great. Always keeps it nice and handy. Love it.
Yeah. So very cool. And that's about it.
And not expensive. Yeah. So,
yeah.
We got some shout outs real quick.
We do. You ready?
I'm ready. Go.
All right. David Parenti and his wife, Carol. Ooh. It was just so much fun to have somebody else picking on you. It was great. It was fun. The Hannon family came up and hung out and spent some time at the table. They had three kids with them, and they all did the PCA scavenger hunt and came back, and they all got a pen. They were just so excited. We took a picture together, so that was great that three more youngsters converted.
Super.
Yep. Shout out to Mike and Mimi Turkington, and I got to tell you, Mimi, just keep it up. Ironically, Mike is a diabetic and allergic to chocolate. I don't know how they have stayed married.
I don't know. And then at the end of the show, Mimi comes up to me. She goes, do you like M&Ms? I'm like, well, yeah, I love M&Ms. She goes, well, here's a half a bag, and then here's two more bags, and just keep these for the drive home.
For the drive home.
Yeah, well, what?
Okay. We forgot about them, which is good.
Yeah, I forgot about them. So I forgot about them all day at work while I was pouring them out.
Yep.
Jim Rouse, Franklin Kristoff had a birthday at the show. So happy birthday to Jim.
And I worked with Mimi to, she cut a big slice of her phenomenal brownies and put a candle in it for me. So I walked that over to Jim first. Well,
there was a little accident with the birthday cake.
Yeah, but we had nothing to do with it.
We had nothing to do with
it. And the brownie was first. Yeah, so brownie. I safely took the brownie over there, and I had nothing to do with the restaurant dropping the cake. Yeah. A big shout out to Anna from the blog Well Appointed Desk. It was great to meet her in person. And a huge shout out to my girl Shireen. Super awesome to see you. And we had a good time. I'm glad that she was there the whole time, and so we could chit chat. Here and there. And Shireen was pulling a Steph and delivered donuts to Brian and I and to the gang at Knock. I will freely admit, guilty as charged. I was the first one to get to the box, and oh.
I didn't even know about it. I'm just like,
I gave you one.
I know, but I didn't know about it right away.
It was even heart-shaped.
It was good stuff. Yeah, I know. It was really great.
Yeah. I had the toffee crunch, and it was just orgasmic.
So yeah, and then we tucked one aside, and I had one the next day. It was pretty good.
Yeah, we saved
even it on day two. So
yeah, so big hugs to Shireen. It was great. There was hugging and screaming involved. Blogger Lee Reyes was there, and it was phenomenal to see her and our friend Thomas Hall. And I know I've forgotten a dozen people.
Yeah, there's probably a dozen people at least.
Yeah, I start to write them down sometimes, but then we get busy with other things and I forget. But Shireen and I had a good chat about thyroid. So it was fun. It was good. So that's that.
All right. That's the wrap up for the year. So. Atlanta, and I think that that should do it for this week.
That should do it. We'll let everybody go.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. In the meantime, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin 54911,
or send us an email,
Brian@AndersonPens.com,
or Lisa@AndersonPens.com. Check us out on social media: Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, etc. As Anderson Pens.
Blog is blog.andersonpens.com.
And the website is andersonpens.com.
If you're on our mailing list, check out the blog for updates, new products, or events in the store. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.